Well, fella, hello there. My name is Keith Berman. Come on into my office. Make yourself at home. My company's name is Decision Diagnostics.
Holy hell, Keith. Did you sublease this office from Saul Goodman? It's connected to an empty, creepy warehouse. Oh, well, listeners, hey, welcome to another episode of E-Crime Bites. This is the animated podcast where I research the court documentation and then roast the criminals so you don't have to.
Keith, I gotta ask, where did you get this picture of me?
Well, this picture actually came from your public LinkedIn account. Now, I hope I did such a great job animating you that the listeners here think this is really you. Wouldn't that be awesome?
My company's been making blood glucose tests for ages. But then, here comes a pandemic and knocks us right off our feet. Really screwed up all of our finances.
Hold up, Keith. Are you trying to say it's all the pandemic's fault? That's the whole reason your company lost money?
Keith, you know I can't lie to you. No, most of my money was spent on webcam models. At least $360,000 that the government knows about.
Oh man, that is so much money. What did you get out of that?
Look at me, Keith. It takes a lot of cash to get a woman of that caliber to look at me. Yeah, $360,000. I wouldn't have shit to show for it. Nothing. Unless you want to count this conviction we're going to talk about.
So from what I read, the pandemic happened, you ran out of money, and then you went to the Korean company that makes your glucose tests, and you asked them if they could make a blood COVID test that would occur in something ridiculous like 10 seconds with just a tiny little drop of blood out of your finger. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right. So my Koreans, they said it was theoretically possible. But we kept trying to make a test, and we couldn't. So, of course, I went and issued a bunch of press releases that said, we've got this test and it works.
That sounds highly fraudulent, Keith.
Oh, Keith, it's highly fraudulent. Highly fraudulent. I had another consultant coming and questioning it the whole time. And every time he'd question it, I'd go out there and I'd issue another press release talking about the test that we had. Yeah, it was almost like to spite him, wasn't it? There were at least a dozen press releases that happened, and my company that's publicly traded, the price increased over 1,500%. Think about that, Keith. Think about that.
Didn't the company that were making the test, didn't they see your press releases, and didn't they question you about it at all?
Oh, Keith. The vendor came to us twice. The first time was after my first press release, and they said, hey, we can't make this test. So I looked them straight in the eye, and I went out and issued another press release, and I said, hey, the vendor's now validating this test that we have, and we're just waiting on the FDA emergency use authorization. The vendor, that's when they came back a second time and they said, hey, we definitely cannot make these tests. But I didn't listen to them. I just kept publishing these press releases to pump up my stock price.
So did the FDA do anything to stop you?
Oh yeah, Keith, they tried. They tried. The first time they came to me and they said, we can't authorize anything without seeing some clinical test data. I didn't have clinical test data, Keith. This is a fraudulent test I'm making. So I did what I did best, and I went out and I issued a press release, and I said, hey, this COVID test that we're making is well through this FDA process, even though it clearly was not. Now, here's something funny, Keith. When I applied for the emergency use authorization from the FDA, they sent me an acknowledgement letter. I use this acknowledgement letter as proof that the FDA granted us use of this test is a major milestone. You see what I did there, Keith? It was just twisting the words a little bit.
Holy hell. No, that's not twisting the words. That's just a straight up lie. All right, well, I see the FDA finally said no to you without any more clinical tests, and it sounds like you don't have any way to make any clinical tests. So what'd you do at this point?
Well, I didn't just start doing clinical testing, if that's what you're asking me, Keith. So I hired some consultants, and I have to use air quotes, which is kind of awkward because I don't have hands. But these consultants, I used them to pressure the FDA into hopefully seeing our way into this. These consultants also pressure the members of Congress on our behalf.
I see next on April 23rd, 2020, the SEC suspended trading on your stock due to questions about the accuracy of your press releases on your COVID tests, Keith. How'd that make you feel?
Oh, I was really pissed off about this. So I did what I do best, and July 10th, 2020, I issued a press release that says we have a COVID blood test that produces results in 10 and a half seconds. So take that, SEC. You can imagine my consultant came back to me and said, "Are you sure we can do this?" And I looked him straight in the eye and said, "Damn sure we can. Damn sure."
So were you sure?
Oh, hell no. I didn't have any test. No test at all. So I went to my investors, or as I like to call them, victims, and asked them to write letters on my behalf to the SEC. And these are really long letters, Keith. They were 30, 40-page letters. And hundreds of my victims, I mean investors, signed it. And it was sent to the highest levels of the SEC on my behalf.
Come on. Was that all you did?
Ha, 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 Keith. You know I can't lie to you. I went on these stock message boards and attacked the shit out of the SEC. I used all sorts of aliases and pseudonyms, and yeah, it was really not good. And then when anybody tried to defend the SEC against my company, I'd go and attack them too.
So you attacked anybody that opposed you. Did that work?
Fuck no. So I went straight to the victims themselves, and I asked them to change their stories and to admit things and just stop talking to the investigators so that way they would stop looking at me.
Well, that sounds like a move. Did that one work out for you?
Hell no. The SEC, their investigators came back around and started asking me questions like, did I post on this Investors Club, the stock message board? So I looked them straight in the eye and I said, no, I am not a member of the Investors Hub Daily.
Hold up, Keith. That's a different name. Investors Hub Daily is not the same thing as Investors Hub Stock Message Board.
Oh, I know. I thought I'd fooled them, but later they came back and asked me a question about it to follow up, and I said, hey, how'd he answer that question?
But you didn't already answer that question. Did that make them go away?
No. In fact, the goddamn FBI came back and asked me the same questions. So I lied to them too, and I said, I had nothing to do with any of this shit I just told you about.
Well, according to the paperwork I read there, Keith, it looks like this did not work out for you because May 11th of 2021, you were indicted. Four counts. Securities fraud, wire fraud, obstruction of proceedings, and false statements.
So what? Didn't stop me? I don't give a shit. I continued witness tampering. I also tried to sell up at least $6 million of my company, and it was all fraudulent, by the way, to unsuspecting victims. I mean, investors.
I can't imagine that helped your case much.
Oh, not at all. Let me show you what happens next. Hello, Clarice.
Well, damn, they locked you up, huh?
Oh, yeah, Keith. It was pretty much your only choice at this point. I was witness tampering. I was trying to sell my company fraudulently. They couldn't really do much else.
To be fair, Keith, it sounds like you didn't have much choice at this point either.
Yeah, I decided to plead guilty to four counts while I still had some lead in my pencil, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, Keith, I didn't want to have to imagine that one. All right, so I have count one is securities fraud, count two is wire fraud, count three is obstruction of proceedings, Count four is false statements. And it sounds like, according to what I read, you pled guilty to everything. And the government, on April 5th, 2024, they said, we want 120 months, which is 10 years, for Keith Berman for all this shit that he did. How do you feel about that, Keith? What did you want?
Keith, I was horrified by 10 years, given that my attorneys asked for time served. 10 years of not being able to talk to my webcam models. I can't imagine a life like that.
Sorry to bring you bad news, but the judge says you have 7 years of prison. And then after that, you have 3 years of supervised release. So you're going to be well into your 80s before this portion of your life is over. And it looks like your restitution is to be figured out when all your other cases have concluded with the SEC and all that.
Holy hell. Hey, Hannibal, you hear that? I'm going to be with you at least 7 more years. Shit. Well, the only thing I gotta say is I sure hope I have video phones in prison, and it's about to get real awkward for anybody around me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it really sounds like the webcam models were the only people that made out at the end of this case.
Oh, the webcam models did not make out, Keith. They did not make out. You would think for $360,000 that they would have, but they didn't.
Fair enough. Hey, listener, if you enjoyed this episode, please like and subscribe. I really hope to see you on our next episode, which will be another crazy case just like this. Thanks, and see you then.